Thank you, Kenton Darcy, for that awesome song. That was just wonderful and beautiful. Everyone, stretch up your hands. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we give you glory. We give you praise. Lord, we thank you for all things that you are doing in this place, in this house. We thank you, Lord, for the lives that are being changed. We thank you, Lord, for young people, for children that are coming to know you. We thank you, Lord, for all the things that are happening here. We thank you, Lord, God, that, Lord, while we are waiting, while we are in the waiting of this situation with the Family Ministry Center, Lord, you're in control. Lord, you're going to bring in the right people. You're going to bring in the right thing, and it'll be done in your time. Until then, we will praise you. We will worship you. We will glorify you in all things. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Stephen. One of the 12 minor prophets towards the end of the Old Testament. Minor not because it's unimportant, but minor due to its size, but completely relevant in its message, powerful in its presentation. Habakkuk was an Old Testament prophet who prophesied probably during the days of Jeremiah as they were about to enter captivity into Babylon. And God gave Habakkuk a word for him and a word for us today. How many are familiar with these questions? God, where are you when I need you? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? Will I make it through this trial? You don't have to raise your hands because I'm pretty sure, as I know I have asked these questions once in a while, I am pretty sure that a good number of you also have also asked these questions of God. Regardless if you're going through something, but as you see what is happening in our world, and yes, the chaos, the crisis, the absolute extraordinary situation our world is in today, it stands to reason why many people would be asking these questions. People are asking, where is God? Where is he when I need him the most? Why are good people suffering and why are bad people succeeding? What do we do when God doesn't make sense? And that's the question I want us to look at today and over the next few weeks as we look into this wonderful Old Testament book, Habakkuk chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not answer? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Then the Lord answers Habakkuk. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I am going to do something in your day that you would not believe, even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves in dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping to devour. They all come intent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They mock kings and scoff rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities. That by building earthen ramps, they capture them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on. Guilty people whose own strength is their God. Father, in these next few moments, help me, Lord, to convey this message. Lord, Lord, to your glory I pray. Open our ears to hear your word. Open our eyes to see the way that we should go, and anoint our feet to be ready to respond to your call today. Holy Spirit, only you can do this, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. From time to time, I've asked myself these questions. And maybe you found yourself in this scenario. Why is it that I work hard at work, I'm honest, but then that total jerk that worked down the hall, who's kissing up to the boss, gets the promotion? Why? Why is it that the person who lives life like the devil, lives to be 102, but that great Christian dad dies at 42 of cancer? Like, what's up with that? Why is it that we try to raise our kids according to God's word? We do try to do the best that we can, and yet our kids still end up messed up. Why? What's up with that? How come we try to do what God's word says financially? We tithe, we give to missions, but yet we don't seem to be blessed or getting ahead, while someone who doesn't give anything seems to be getting all of the deals. What's up with that? How come when someone prays and when they pray, God seems to immediately answer them, but when I pray, nothing seems to happen? What's up with that? Is it fair? Is God even there? Does God even care? Those were the questions that Habakkuk was asking as he looked upon his own people. As they are described as a nation of violence, a people where injustice seemed to be the call of the day, where people were going about wrongdoing and violence was rampant, there was strife and conflict abounded. And Habakkuk looks around to these who are supposed to be God's people. And they could hear the war drums of Babylon in the distance. And he's asking, God, how come? God, why? Are you there? Why aren't you fair? And do you actually even care? Does God care when we go through the unspeakable? Does he care when we pray and it seems he doesn't answer? I want to share with you quickly before communion that yes, we can be absolutely assured that God cares. Habakkuk's first complaint was, Lord, why do we think that you don't care? Why is it that it seems that way? Well, one reason, Habakkuk writes, is we pray, but we don't see God's answer right away. Habakkuk cries out to God in verse 1, how long, Lord, must I call to you for help, but you don't listen? Anyone ever been in that situation? Your back was against the wall, and you're calling out to God, but it seemed that God wasn't hearing you. Another reason is we sometimes think God doesn't care is when we're in trouble and God doesn't deliver us right away. Look at the second part of verse 1. Look at where Habakkuk says, how long, Lord, must I cry out to you? Violence, but you do not save. How long? How long, Lord? Have you ever asked a how long prayer? How long until I am healed? How long until my marriage is healed? How long till I find that job? How long till I find someone to marry? How long, Lord? And the burden gets heavier and heavier and heavier, and the time seems to get longer and longer and longer. Another reason we sometimes think God doesn't care is when we see people who are doing evil triumphing over the righteous who are trying to live for God. In the next two verses, Habakkuk changes the question. He goes from asking God to how long to asking God, why? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Why do you allow destruction and violence? Why is there strife and conflict? Why does it seem your law is paralyzed and justice never prevails, God? Why? Habakkuk cries out, Lord, why? Don't you care? Do you ever ask God the why questions? Do you ever wonder why God allows such destruction and evil in the world? Does he care? Yes, I believe he does. And God turns the tables on Habakkuk as he begins to take Habakkuk on a journey. You see, Habakkuk is filled with doubt and confusion. He doesn't know where God is. His head is spinning around like a top. He doesn't know which end is up. And God intervenes. Aren't you glad that we serve a God who not only is he's not afraid of our questioning, but he welcomes our questions? Young people, I want you to know you never have to be afraid of asking God the hard questions. He can take it. He's got pretty wide shoulders. And when you don't think God cares, you don't think he's around, I want you to know that he does care. He is aware of what's happening. How do we know that God cares? Well, first of all, God assures Habakkuk and us that he hears our every prayer. Look at verse 5. Look at the nations and watch. God is turning the tables on Habakkuk. He says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in your day that you would not believe even if I told you. Not only is God listening, but God says he was going to be moving entire nations in answer to Habakkuk's prayer. He says to Habakkuk, you just watch and see how I'm going to answer. You're going to be absolutely, totally amazed. And the Hebrew there can be translated, you're going to be totally gobsmacked. Your jaw is going to drop to the floor, Habakkuk. You'll see something you have never seen before. And isn't that just like our God? While we're busy crying out how long, while we're wondering if God is even listening, he's already in the process of answering our prayers. God often answers in such amazing ways, doesn't he? 1 John 5 tells us, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked him. Yes, God cares. God answers prayer. He answers us when we come to him in his will, in submission to his plan. In verse 14, John writes, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And as we come with unselfish, humble hearts. James writes, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. When we come with confident faith. We come with submission, confident that God's in control. We come not with our own selfish desires, but we come with a desire for God's will to be done. And when we come with a heart that is humble and pure before him. Psalm 66:18 says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Yes, God cares. He hears and he answers us as we pray. But listen carefully. Another way that we know God cares is not only does he answer prayer, but he promises that he will deliver us in his time. And folk, we forget that often, don't we? We would love to put a period after deliver us. He will deliver us, period. And he will. He will deliver us as we're faithful in prayer in his time. God says in Habakkuk verse 6, I am raising up the Babylonians. Who? What? God, you've got to be kidding me. Judah is bad enough. The people have turned their backs on you, but you're going to use what and who to do for our deliverance? God was going to bring the Babylonians. He didn't understand. Habakkuk didn't understand what God was doing because he could not see down the road. And sometimes God will bring us into situations that we may not understand, like, or admire, and we want him to just scoop us out. But sometimes he has us sailing in the storm until that place and at that time where he intervenes and he brings us to the place of deliverance. God does care. He does hear. And he answers in his time. And sometimes, oftentimes, God calls us to wait on his timing. He promises to deliver us. Psalm 34:19 says, a righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Psalm 91:15 says, he will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him. Listen to me. No matter what storm you're in right now, I want you to hear this, folks. Mark chapter 4, I love this story of Jesus with his disciples. They're on the lake. A storm arises. They think they're absolute goners. And where's Jesus? He's taking a nap in the bow. Or maybe it was the stern. I don't know. But he was asleep in the boat. And the disciples, they missed it. They missed the point. They stir Jesus awake, and the first thing they say is, Jesus, don't you care? Anyone been there? You see, they missed the point. Why was Jesus asleep? He was still in control. Because when Jesus is in the boat, they weren't going to go down. Jesus had already told them, let's go to the other side. There are people there that need to hear the gospel. There are demoniacs that need to be delivered. There are people that need to be healed. The blind need to receive their sight. The lame need to walk. The deaf need to hear. The people need to be delivered. And Jesus said, I've got a call on your life. We're going to the other side. And there is no storm that the devil can bring up that will hinder you from getting to the other side as long as your eyes are on Jesus, because his presence is always in the boat. Hallelujah. Yes, God cares. 1 Peter chapter 5 reminds us that we need to look to God's timing. We read in 1 Peter 5:10, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. You see, our desire is that God would bring us out of the pain right now. Come on, let's be honest. That's what we want, isn't it? I believe in healing. I believe healing is in the atonement. I believe we can trust God and know his healing, delivering power. But sometimes God has us in the boat going across the lake through the storm to remind us not only is he in the boat, his presence will bring us through. He will never leave us or forsake us, but there is something that he is working in us. He wants to make us strong. He wants us so that our faith is firm. He wants us to grow a steadfast faith, and he wants to restore us. And folk, that takes time. God cares. He is there. But there's something else that Habakkuk is reminded of that we also don't like to be reminded of. A third way we know that God cares is because God affirms that he will address evil and injustice in his time. As Habakkuk looked upon his own people and he saw the injustice taking place, the evil that was rampant, the violence that was around every corner, he was wondering, God, why? Why are the good suffering and the evil flourishing? Why do good things happen to bad people, and why do bad things happen to good people? Lord, I don't understand why. Where is the justice? And God says, I will have my day. We don't like to talk about this aspect of God. We want God to be always a God of love, a God of mercy, a God of grace. But folk, he's also a God of justice. And we need to be reminded through that God one day will be coming again to set things right, and he will have his justice. We may not see it in our lifetime, but it will happen, and it will happen even when we don't know it. He says, I will bring the Babylonian army, a horde that advances like a desert wind. They gather prisoners like sand. They deride kings and scoff at rulers. They sweep past like the wind and go on, guilty men whose strength is their God. We read that and we wonder, God, God, where is your justice? It's going to come. It's going to come. Ecclesiastes 3:17 says, God will bring to judgment both the righteous and the wicked, for there will be a time for every activity, a time for every deed. Why does he wait? Why does he wait so long? Why was he waiting so long for the people of Judah? Why was he waiting so long for Babylon? Why is he waiting so long for Canada? Why is he waiting so long for Russia and Ukraine? Why is he waiting for the United States? Why is he waiting for you and me? Simply this. He's waiting to give people opportunity to turn to him. 2 Peter 3:9 reminds us the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you. Aren't you glad for that today? Aren't you glad for the patient love and mercy of God? He's patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The day is going to come when God is going to make all things right. Yes. Thank God we're looking for that day. The question that we need to ask ourselves, am I ready? Should he come today? Am I ready? Should he come before this preacher breathes his last breath? Am I ready? Yes, God cares. But am I ready? Do you know him today? I pray that before we end today, if you do not know him, that you will call out to him today and find him as your Savior, as your healer, as your deliverer, as your coming King. The Bible says now is the day of salvation. It is near at our hands. It's as close as our lips. Will you cry unto him today? Habakkuk struggled with the why and the how that God was dealing with him and with his nation. Does God really care? Yes, he cares. He answers our prayer. He answers in his time. And one day he'll answer for all injustice. Maybe some of you are asking that question right now. Life doesn't make sense. God doesn't make sense. Does God even care about what I'm going through? Like Habakkuk, you're on a journey. That journey is beginning with doubt. You're wondering and you're worried. Had an opportunity to share the word with someone this week that I had no idea. This person, well-educated, a man of letters. We were talking about something else until he asked me, can I ask you a question, Ralph? Are you asking me as a friend or as a pastor? He says, I want to know as a pastor. I said, okay. This person is not a follower of Jesus, not a believer. What's going on in Israel, he asked. I'm worried. And I got to share with him briefly what God has in store. Habakkuk was worried. And maybe you're worried here today. You're facing an unknown future. You have questions that cannot be answered. Your back is against the wall and you don't know what to do next. And just like Habakkuk, you're wondering, God, do you care? This is our big idea, and I'm inviting the worship team to come now as we prepare for communion. Here's our big idea I want us to remember. When you wonder if God cares, come to him with your cares. Jesus put it this way. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here's the key. If you're asking questions this morning, here's the key. Bring your doubts and your questions to him today. Come to Jesus in faith. Because God listens, he sees you, and he cares. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.